us hold this moment open to the Spirit of God. O God, the maker and redeemer of all, grant us with your servant Barry and all the faithful departed the sure benefits of your Son's saving passion and glorious resurrection, that in the last day, when you gather up all things in Christ, we may with them enjoy the fullness of your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the people of God.
Thank you. I met Barry, first of all, at the Eucharist at his beloved Camp Columbia in 1972. This led to participation in a mission evening at St. James Departure Bay, where Barry was then the rector. And as a part of the process of introducing me to share some of our experience of life in the Church of Uganda, he went round the circle of the 70 or 80 people present, introducing every single person by their Christian name and their last name. And he did it without a moment's hesitation. I have never forgotten that. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Many of us here today have been blessed by Barry's shepherding and give thanks for it. Barry had a wide and diverse experience as a priest in this diocese, as rector of St. George's, Canberra Bay, then as director of the program for the diocese. It was during this period that Barbara and Barry went to the Cuernavaca Center for Interchurch Dialogue on Development in Mexico. It was, Barbara told me, a shattering experience of the extreme poverty in which many people live. They felt called to respond. Over the next 7 years, groups from different parts of this diocese went to Cuernavaca, and that influence spread like gentle ripples on the surface of the water of this diocese. Both the Primates Fund and the Church's International Partnerships in Mission were of major importance to Barry. It was also in this period he was appointed to the World Mission Committee of the National Church, of which he subsequently became the chair. He valued his relations with World Mission staff and with visitors coming from partner churches all over the world. In the course of serving on that committee, a job description came before it for the Director of Christian Education in the Diocese of Guyana in South America. My then colleague, Terry Brown, later Bishop of Malaita, who is happily with us today, described that moment in this way. I remember approaching Barry and Barbara. What surprised me was the ease and grace with which they answered that call. Usually we sought out younger clergy for those positions for whom moving was easier. But Barry, an established priest of the diocese here, was willing to pick up and go hearing that call. And it was precisely his long years of experience that was needed then in Guyana. Barry gave some of the best 11 years of his life to the role of bishop, a calling he had not anticipated. What were some of the marks of Barry's episcopal ministry? His indigenous people's environmental and justice concerns, above all, his sense that being an active Christian in a local parish always carries global implications. He experienced that through partnership and mission conferences in Malaysia and in Canada. And in the course of that process, it was a joy for him to welcome Andrew Myahan, later the Archbishop of the Church in Burma, as a priest from Burma, Myanmar, who came to Vancouver Island and the Vancouver School of Theology for a whole year. And that opened the way for the 15-year companion diocese relationship between this diocese and the diocese of the Church in Burma, Myanmar. A testimony to Barry's quiet influence on people's lives is the fact that more people from this Diocese of British Columbia went for short-term appointments overseas as volunteers in mission than from any other Canadian diocese. But Guyana was always close to his heart. And when the first free and fair elections were held in Guyana in 1992 after the Forbes Burnham dictatorship, Barry was invited to be part of the commission set up by President Jimmy Carter to observe the fairness of the process. And then, 3 years before his retirement, he used a sabbatical to go back to Guyana for 3 months to train Amerindian clergy and assist in parish ministry. On our World Mission staff, David Hamid was the mission coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean when the Jenks were in Guyana. Last week, now Bishop Hamid sent me these words. Barry contributed so much to our church in Canada and the West Indies. He is much loved in Burma too through the companion links. He taught me a great deal. I join so many who will miss him. Barry was much aware that we all carry the treasure of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in earthen vessels. A priest of this diocese for 30 years spoke to me of three highlights of his ministry in the diocese. First, he said his gifts in dealing with difficult personnel situations. Whatever the circumstances, Barry always treated people with compassion, for which many are grateful. Second, his ability to enable conversations between people who were not talking to one another, especially in the human sexuality debates of the 1990s. Third, under Barry's leadership, the street ministry of Rick Sandberg evolved into threshold housing, with its two houses responding to youth homelessness and poverty in Victoria. As known to many of you, in the last 10 years, Barry and Barbara have faced a vortex of health challenges in their family. They have had much more than their fair share. It began with Barry's diagnosis of chronic leukemia, followed by Barbara's broken neck, and then the sad, sad loss of their daughter, Susan. Through all this, and the anger and fear which he felt sometimes, they have not only survived, but remained people of hope, confident in the promises of God. Barry's six grandchildren were the joy of his life: Jack and Angus, Helena and Silas, Ashlyn and Tara. I noticed there was always a special glint in his eye, a wicked glint, I think I'd call it, when he would say to me, "Will I see you in 2 weeks' time?" I mean, I would be saying to him, "Will I see you in 2 weeks' time?" And he would say, "No, we're off to Pemberton to visit Stacy, Jack, and Angus for 2 weeks." There could be nothing much better than that. Or as he said to me in the middle of April, not that long ago, with great joy, "Do you know what? Tim and Heather and the family are coming for 2 weeks in July." So like you, I have come today to give thanks with you for Barry Jenks, a good friend, a servant of the servants of the Lord, a man of courage and grace, who has blessed us all by his presence.
Oh, A reading from the second letter to the church in Corinth. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the people of God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were walking, Jesus himself came near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad, Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word for God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one of them to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer all these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. While he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the eleven and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise.